I've been called to minister for three friends that have family members and acquaintances that have passed. It's been a blessing to do so. I think I feel a little bit, can understand a little bit about what the Apostle Paul felt in the various people that he's met over his ministry. There were people not like him. There were people not that wasn't, as my friend said, marinated in grace the way that Paul was. Really, I want to talk to you about some things that folks don't really like to talk about. Have you ever heard the saying, the elephant in the room? Or his head is in the sand. You ever heard that? Those idioms or sayings are used in the context of there being an issue or a statement or a position or something that everybody can know or realizes that it's there but doesn't like to acknowledge the issue. They don't like to confess that it's in the room. Have you ever done that? Have you ever seen issues that needed to be dealt with but just brushed it aside, or stuck your head in the sand and covered your ears and closed your eyes and went la 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 like that? Have you ever done that? Well, I want to talk about an elephant today. This elephant's big. And it's in every room. Everybody sees it at some level. Very few people will acknowledge that it's in the room. And fewer people still want to talk about it. The elephant's name is truth. And more importantly, it's where you stand concerning it. Where we stand concerning the truth. In Psalm 51, you can turn there, but I want us to realize that the truth of God, of His existence, is everywhere. The truth of God's existence is seen by every person. Because the heavens declare His glory. All of His creation declares His glory. And Paul says, on that account, He ought to be recognized by every living thing. Every human being. But it says, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So these are willing ignorant people. Willingly ignorance. We talked about that a couple years ago, didn't we? When we talked about the willing ignorant and several different issues of ignorance. These are the willing ignorant that don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Cain was better than they were. Do you think? I'm not willing to put Cain in heaven. The Bible don't say nothing good about him. But he still, in his unregeneracy and non-elect, I believe, state, brought God an offering. Now, it wasn't a good one. And God didn't have respect to him nor his offering, but he still retained God in his knowledge. And people now are not. God's worthy to be praised by all of His creation. The Bible even speaks of the trees clapping their hands in praise to Him. You ever hear a bird singing in the springtime? That is a glory to God, and that is a praise to God. The beauty that you see out here, it's not for your pleasure, it's for His. For thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, that kind of knowledge is a general knowledge of God. It's all around, but nobody wants to talk about it. Even people that claim to be followers of Christ, i.e. Christians, don't believe in a six-day creation. Did you know that? They don't even like to retain God in their knowledge, and they don't like to ascribe glory to God on His creation power. That's an elephant in the room they don't like to talk about. But they cannot deny that it's in the room. They don't like to talk about it. They like to keep their head in the sand about it. But them not recognizing or acknowledging the truth does not change the truth. Got it? What you believe about the truth does not change the truth. It doesn't make it so or make it false. The truth stands alone. And I want us to talk about where we stand concerning the truth. Now, this can get very personal. And I think it should get personal. I think it has to get personal. I want you to remember, and we're going to bring up David in Psalm 51. You know David, what he did when he saw Bathsheba. He saw her bathing on the rooftop. And David desired her. And he set in motion a plan to carry out
the lust of his flesh. And then, as it always does, sin found him out, didn't it? She was found with child, which was a great evidence of his sin. It wasn't her husband's child because he was off to war. And do you know what David did? David tried to cover it up, didn't he? David called Uriah from the front, from the war, and he says, "You stay here, you be comforted and go into your wife," because he was at least making plausible deniability. If she had lain with her husband, then the heat would be off of him, right? So David set in motion that plan, but Uriah was an honorable servant of the king. And he slept outside David's door and he said, "No, I'm not going to my wife. I'm staying right here, right next to you, right outside your door." Because he served him. And David said, "I can't get it done this way. I'm just going to have to do it some other way." So David calls Uriah and he told one of his servants, "You tell or give Uriah some marching orders to go to the hottest part of the battle." And he did, and Uriah, being an honorable servant, went and did as the king said, and he was killed in battle. David said, "Well, I can't bear that." And so David thought he got away with it. But Nathan came in and said, "David, I'm going to tell you about a subject in the kingdom. He had a young lamb, and he only had one. And he loved that lamb. Said he brought it into his house and cared for it. Much like we do our dogs today. And he said there was another man that had a whole herd of lambs. And he took away from that man his one lamb so that he could have it." David said, "Where is he at? He's worthy of death." And Nathan the prophet looked at David the king and said, "Thou art the man." This psalm is David's prayer after Nathan came to him and said, "Thou art the man." Oh, there was a big elephant in the room David didn't want to deal with. Nathan made him deal with it. Nay, God made him deal with it. And I want us to read Psalm 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Behold, he's telling God, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You know, there's a lot in this, and it's worth a whole sermon. I'm not going to spend a whole sermon talking about it, but I want us to realize some main points that David made. David said, my sin was against you. It affected Bathsheba, it affected Uriah, and it affected my kingly position, but my sin was against you. I want us to realize that all of our sins are against God. They're totally opposed to Him and His perfect righteousness. Now, David could have denied that he had done any wrong. And in his inward parts, he said, I would know the truth. And thou would know the truth. You know, God sees everything. Jesus said He did. When He talked about giving alms in Matthew chapter 5 and Sermon on the Mount, He says, don't do your alms by blowing a trumpet before men. He says, if you do, then you have your reward. He said, but you what? When you give your alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. Now that's pretty secret. If thou doest that in secret, God who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You see, God sees in secret. David knew that. And he knew he might be able to pull the wool over Nathan's eyes. Well, he couldn't pull it over Nathan's eyes because God told him that he was the man. He might have pulled the wool over the eyes of all the subjects, but in his heart of hearts, he would know the truth and know that he was a liar and a denier. Have you acknowledged your sins before God? Have you ever done that? I would admonish you to do it. I'm not wanting you to tell me about it. I don't want you to tell... if you need to confess your sins to somebody, do it. But I want you to really realize that you really need to talk to the one whom the sin is against to get relief. That's God. You talk to God about those sins. You confess them to Him. Now, in general, we all know that we have faults. We all do, don't we? We all know that we have faults. And in general, I can tell you that I am a faulty man. I'm a man just like everybody else. We don't need to think of ourselves higher than we ought to think. But soberly. You know, that's going to come up here in a little while later, to think soberly. That means to deal with the elephant in the room. That means to pull your head out of the sand. Get your hands off your ears, open your eyes, and quit saying la, 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 la when God speaks. All right. There's a lot I could talk about acknowledging, but I want to hammer that word around with several different places where it's talked about. You know what the absence of, or the opposite of acknowledging something is? It's denying it. Do you know John the Baptist, when he came and he was doing the things that was prophesied that he would do as one crying in the wilderness, and they came to him because all men flocked to John the Baptist. And the Pharisees came down and they asked him, who are you? Art thou the Christ? And John John, in that position, he could have assumed the fame that they were willing to attribute to him, but he did not. He could have, but in John's mind, he said, I'm confessing to you, John, the apostle John said. He confessed and did not deny. He says, I'm not the Christ. He said, but there is one here whose shoe that I'm not worthy to unloose. I want you to realize that John the Baptist, he could have... Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken credit for something somebody else did? Because you didn't think they'd know. You ever done that? I have. Have you not ever done that? Taking credit for what somebody else did? The elephant in the room was, I didn't do it. It's truth. I didn't do it. They did it. They deserve the glory. They deserve the praise for this particular action. I didn't do it. Nobody likes to talk about the truth, do they? Very few. John was willing to stay in his lane and not assume what they thought. You know, I want to move on to Peter. Did you know that Peter had some wonderful dealings with God, didn't he? With the Lord, with Jesus. I mean, it's astounding how many times that he and the Lord had interchanges. And I want you to realize that Peter in himself said, I'll never deny you. Peter was really quick and so self-absorbed in his own ability to follow Jesus, that he said, wherever you go, I'm going. And Peter was so strong with that, that I believe he really meant it, but he didn't really realize how weak he was. And he says, Lord, though all these will flee away, I'll never do it. You know, Peter was so strong in that for a minute that he picked up a sword when they came to him in the garden, came to Jesus in the garden. And he swung it and cut off Malchus's right ear, I believe it says. And Jesus just reached down and put his enemy's ear back on and made him whole. Peter ran and fled when they took Jesus. That's not his denial. They all fled. When they took Jesus to Pilate's house, Pilate was questioning him, and yes, they had beaten him already to some extent. And Peter's down there because he wasn't allowed in the high priest's house. John, because he didn't really have access to the place. John did because he knew some of them. Peter was outside and it was in the nighttime and he was warming himself by the fire. And a maid came and said, you're one of Jesus' friends. He said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Denying. Then she came back and she said, no, you really are one of him. One of his followers. And he says, no, stronger this time. Nope, not me. You got me confused with somebody else. He didn't acknowledge the truth, did he?
Right.
Then she comes back and she says, "No, your speech says different. Your speech bewrayeth thee," or it's betraying you, and what you're saying is being betrayed by, you're not telling the truth, basically, is what she said. And Peter says he began to curse and to swear, "I know not the man." And then he looks up to the truth. Jesus looks down on the denial, and their eyes meet. And Peter was convicted of the truth, that Jesus knew the truth. That made assumed the truth, but Jesus knew the truth. And Peter knew that Jesus knew the truth, and he was found out, and he went out and wept bitterly. But I want you to realize that when Jesus came and he, after his death and resurrection even, Peter and all the others said, well, Peter said, "I go a fishing," and all the others said, "We'll go with you." And then Jesus appears to them and he asks them, "Have you caught anything?" You know, and they said, "No." And Peter said, John said, "It's the Lord." And Peter jumped out of the boat and swam to him. Do you know what Jesus asked Peter after they had eaten? He told them to come and dine. He prepared a meal for them. And Peter gets up there and he's eating, and Jesus, among them all, the ones that Peter said, "I'm better than all these. I'll never deny you." And he denied him three times. And yet, this time, and Jesus never gave him any verbal forgiveness for that. He brings it up again, and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Yeah, Lord, I love you." He says, "Feed my lambs." He says, "Peter, do you love me?" Second time. Peter's a little bit more, "I don't understand why you're asking me two times, Lord. You know I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." And the third time, he brought it up again. "Peter, do you love me more than these? Are you still going to, with unwavering confidence, say out loud that you love me more than all these do?" And Peter, grieved now, says, "Lord, you know all things." He acknowledged that God knew all things. He said, "You know all things." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Do you know, Peter had more dealings with the Lord after this. But I want you to realize that there is some personal acknowledging that we need to do in terms of where we stand concerning the truth. Because God, who sees in secret, knows what's in your heart. And when you acknowledge that, you are aligning yourself with that truth. Now, the job of a minister is to present the truth. It is the job of the sheep to acknowledge it, thereby feeding it, feeding on it. Now, I want us to talk about a couple of places. That took a little bit longer than I expected. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want us to realize in verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, Paul says, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shame for a woman to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Were the things that Paul wrote to them the commandments of the Lord? They were. But Paul says, acknowledge them as such. I want us to realize, and I don't want to, this is a lot of stuff, but first of all, number one, Paul saved, before he wrote to them, but before he wrote those letters to them, he preached to that church. And he wrote then that when we were among you, I was determined not to know anything save among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the unadulterated truth of God's Word. And you can go on there and talk about the various offices in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. And He was manifest in the flesh and His name was Jesus. And that Lord and Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah of God, who was sent to do the will of God. And Paul says, I determined that I wasn't going to preach anything except that to you. And they even questioned his authority. As an apostle, they questioned his subject matter, I guess. Seeing how many problems they had in this church. But Paul says, I want you, if any man thinks himself to be spiritual. Now they thought they were real spiritual. You'll find that if you read both letters. You don't have to read both of them. They thought they were real spiritual. Paul says, listen, if you think you're spiritual, I want you to acknowledge the things that I've written unto you and that I've preached unto you, that they're commandments of God. If you say you're spiritual, acknowledge those things. Now, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now, I believe this is a willing ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. Now, Paul keeps going. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, in verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge. Paul's saying, you've seen us. We were among you, and you know how we behaved ourselves with you. Basically, he called them letters and epistles based on their conversation and lives. And he says, you witnessed ours and read that epistle too. And for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. Now, Paul says the way we behaved to you, you saw. And you acknowledge that what we say is consistent. What we preach was consistent with how we behaved. You know, it's really good for people to acknowledge that. It's good for you to acknowledge that I am who I say I am. It's important for you to acknowledge that I'm not, hopefully, just preaching to you the truth and then going on and denying it in my life. I want to acknowledge that in you, that you're not just giving lip service to God, but you're giving living sacrifice to God. Now, Paul says in Titus chapter 1. Paul says, starts it out, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Now, both the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth, they're in accord with one another. And Paul's servanthood was in accordance to that too. So he says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now that's a promise that God made. That's a truth that we need to acknowledge. God promised that eternal life before the world began, and we know that that eternal life is in His Son. We know that. We need to acknowledge that. Not only acknowledge it by our belief, but we need to acknowledge it by our actions. We need to acknowledge it by our baptism initially, and then our conversation in life after that. Now, he says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. That's how we do this. That's how God ordained this. By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, he goes on and 2 Timothy. Let's go over there. Turn back a few pages. Chapter 2. I meant to spend more time on this. Paul's giving, you know, this second book to Timothy. Paul is writing to a preacher that is not discharging his duty as he ought, and he's faint in his duty. And Paul gives him, I think it's like 11 different foundations in here of reasons for, I mean godly reasons and the truth of God for him to keep going in his ministry. And it's great encouragement to me to read the whole thing. But we can't read the whole thing. But Paul's giving him instructions as a young minister. And he says in verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That means we need to be all together in this. No man's an island, right? You don't want to be an individual out there. And I know a lot of people say, I can worship God in the boat. I've had people actually tell me that. I can worship God in a deer stand. Well, yeah, you ought to, but that's not the place that God intended for you to do it. Right. Now, he says, but foolish... I'm sorry. No, that's right. Call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. That means be always bringing up divisions or always being contentious in conversation. But be gentle unto all men. Apt or given to teach. Able to teach. Patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, here we've got a snare. We've got people that are in need of repentance. We've got people that are taken captive. And do you know that taken captive and recover themselves has a reference to a person that is not sober? It has reference to a person that has been drugged into a stupor, and he's not thinking straight, and he's not acting straight, and he's not walking straight. He's reeling to and fro, staggering like a drunken man, to use a Bible term to describe drunkenness, and maybe what we're following in our brain, in our mind, and in our lives. He says that when you go in the way that, and the reference is to a snare that fowlers used to use, and they would put seeds in there. You know, I made a snare one time when I was little. It was a cage. I made it out of some branches. And you know how we trapped some birds in there. You know how? We put bird seed in there. And then when the birds would get in there, I'd pull the string off the little stick, and it would clamp down over. We need to realize what our bird seed is. You know, Satan throws out all kind of bird seed to trap you. We need to realize what it is. And when we acknowledge our sin before God, when we acknowledge the truth of God's Word, when we realize all that, we can recover ourselves, the Bible says, out of the snare of the devil. You know, the devil's got a lot of snares because there's a lot of untruths out there. Every untruth is a snare. And that's what he's talking about, acknowledging the truth. And there's a lot of untruths that Satan will put out there that he's blinded people, he's deceived people. You know, he's a liar from the beginning. And there's a lot of bird seed that he's sowing out there. One of them is God's not the creator. And people are taken captive at his will for that, because they're kind of given to that. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. But he even seeks to deceive you as God's children. And he does. Amen. He does. Often except for telling half-truths, which is a lie. There are people out there that tell half-truths about things and people think, I'll entertain that. That's bird seed. That's you one step closer to the snare. I'll entertain that thought. God says, don't even entertain a half-truth. Because what's at the end of that trail of seeds is a snare.
Well, I tell you what, this is big. You know, he says these people oppose themselves. That means these are not, this is not talking about unregenerate people. They're not opposing themselves. They're going right along with it. But the people that oppose themselves and do things that are detrimental to their spiritual man are the ones that follow and believe the lies. Now, first of all, you've got to know what truth is. You don't have to know what all the lies are. You don't have to identify the lies. All you have to know is how to identify the truth. And everything that's not the truth is a lie. You know, we find this in, and I think I may have mentioned this before, do you know at the U.S. Treasury, we have people that inspect our money. And there are so many counterfeits out there. Y'all know that's a big deal. Still, is people printing counterfeit money. And do you know when they train those people, they don't train them in all the various ways that the counterfeiters have come up with to make the counterfeit. All they do is train them inside and out what a dollar bill should look like. And what a real dollar bill looks like. And when they see one that doesn't have the marks where they're supposed to be, then they immediately reject it and take it out of circulation. Acknowledging the truth takes the lies out of circulation. Paul dealt with this very strongly in Romans chapter 10. He says, and talking about the righteousness of faith and how it speaks, he says in verse 8, but what saith it, talking about faith, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So we got mouth and heart here. That is, the word of faith which we preach. See, you see what he did there? He said, which we preach. It's consistent with the word of faith. It's consistent with God. We preach it. All the things are, what we say about it are consistent. That if thou shalt confess, you know, that's acknowledging, isn't it? When you confess something, that's an acknowledging. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You get that? How do you believe in your heart? How do you believe in your heart? Is it just something that you just really know to be true? How do you know it? How do you know it? I,
You see, faith. Y'all, I worked with a lady one time at the nursing home, and she was in, if there was a stage past stage 5, she was in stage 6. I don't know if there is a stage past stage 4, but she was in the last of the last. So hurting, in so much pain. And I would go into her room, and she would say, "Brother Paul, God's going to heal me." She said, "I'm going to be able to get to go home." And she wasn't talking about heaven now. She's talking about her house. She said, "God's going to save me. I've got faith." She listened to all the faith healers and all the prosperity people and said, "I've got faith. God's going to heal me. I know He will. You'll see. You're going to come in tomorrow. I want to be healed." I went in the next day, and she was worse off than she was the day before. And she said, "Brother Paul, God's going to heal me." Every day she kept pushing it back. Till finally one day she said, "Brother Paul, God's going to heal me. I know He will. Preacher said He was." The next day, I went in, and she had died. And I thought in my mind, "Sister, you were healed, but not the way that you thought you were. Because faith must have a sure basis." She had faith in something shaky. She had no assurance that she was going to be healed in her body. There's no assurance of that. Faith must have as its bedrock something sure for it to be true faith when it's carried on. You know, we talked about receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Not the healing of your body. The salvation of your souls. That's the end of our faith. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Now, that's sure, isn't it? We have a reason to put our faith in Him. Now, He does heal. Don't get me wrong. He can heal. But it doesn't heal everybody in the same manner. Paul says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." That's how you believe. You believe unto righteousness in the heart. But that belief comes in regeneration. A hard and stony heart can't believe. God's got to do that circumcising first. And then, that is that innate knowledge that we get in that regeneration. Now, there's a long process about what you learn about God after that. But I want you to realize that with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession, acknowledgement is made unto salvation. Because it's, if you acknowledge with your mouth what the Spirit of God tells you about righteousness in your heart, it's all consistent with itself. And that is a salvation. You know, let's look at it differently. If you believe that God loved you, if you believe that God sent Jesus Christ for you, and you didn't make that profession, if you didn't acknowledge with your mouth what God had done in your heart, would you be consistent or would you be opposing yourself? You'd be opposing yourself. And Paul says, that's why I feed the sheep. To get them to acknowledge with their mouth what God put in their heart. So that they can attribute the object of their faith to the right place. You know, we are all sinners. When we don't acknowledge that and try to cover it up, I'm gonna tell you this story. I know it's over time. I'm gonna tell you this story. I was working security. I know that's hard for you to believe. I was working security down at a hotel down on the coast in Florida one time with my friend Randy and some of his other friends one summer when they went down there. Well, this guy got, I'm just going to tell you, he wasn't sober by any stretch of the imagination, and he jumped off of the second story patio onto the onto the sand. And I thought, surely he done broke his legs. Well, because we were, you know, he was doing stuff he shouldn't have been doing, so we were trying to get him and calm him down. Well, we ran down the stairs and started chasing him onto the beach, you know, a flat beach. And you know what he did out there after we were chasing him? You know what he did? He got down and he put his hands over his head like this, like we couldn't see him. Like we were just going to run past him. I think we get that way sometimes when it comes to the truth. I think we get that way sometimes when it comes to our sin. I think we get that way sometimes when it comes to God's Word. I think sometimes we don't acknowledge our sin before God. Really, that we're really sinners and that we really are in need of a Savior. Let's acknowledge the truth daily. May God bless you this week to help someone see it and to acknowledge it. May God bless you is my prayer. Doors of church are open for reception of members for those who are willing to acknowledge the truth and to recover themselves out of the snare of the lies of Satan.